I'd notice that in terms of our sermon series and the Sermon on the Mount, we've skipped a few verses there, right at the start of Matthew chapter 7. We'll come back to them. But as we came to Vision Sunday, I thought that last part of what Jesus has to teach us fits really nicely as we think about ourselves as a church and where we want to head, not only in the year ahead, but into the future more generally. Let me pray for us. It's going to be hard to concentrate this morning. I promise to be kind and keep things shorter. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can take the time now to hear your word taught. And we do pray you'll be with us, especially in this heat. Give us concentration and focus. Lord, we pray that your word would be at work powerfully this morning in our hearts so that we might be encouraged, challenged and provoked to live for the Lord Jesus and obey him in everything. We pray this so that we may honour and glorify the one who loves us and who saved us. So bless our time now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this photo. You might have seen it if you're on the Terry Hills Facebook community page. I've just kind of pinched it off there. It's a great photo because of the perspective, obviously. To get that perspective over Terry Hills, Duffy Forest. See how vulnerable we are to fire. But I like it because it's like a God's eye view, if you like, you know, God's perspective from above, the place in which we live. At 1 Timothy 2:4, reminds us that God our Saviour wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So as God looks down on our world and our nation and our city and our suburb, his desire is for all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For that reason, our vision as a church, our vision statement, which you may or may not be aware of, we have one. Our vision statement is to enjoy and share life through Jesus Christ. We want to enjoy being Christian. We want to experience joy in our life as we follow our Lord. He does give us joy. We want to enjoy that, but more than that, we want to share such joy. We want to share the life that Jesus brings, not just fullness of life in this world, but also eternal life beyond, to enjoy and share life through Jesus Christ. Back in 2018, when I began as minister here at St. Paul's, together we set a vision and mission. It was very much connected to the vision that was there before. It wasn't nothing radically new, but we tried to just clarify some things. I'll need to turn this on. There we go. What are we aiming for, our vision? Our 2022 vision, which seemed to be a long way off 2 years ago when I first started, but we're now in 2020 and it's not that far away, is that we want to grow our congregation by 50 people in 5 years by serving our community and sharing the knowledge of life through Jesus Christ. And with all thanks and praise to God who gives the growth, as Nathan was saying before, we have exceeded our desire to grow by 10 people per year, as the numbers here this morning testify. We are putting pressure on the size of this building that we have. And in a sense, that's what the five-year vision that we set was about. It was about filling this place and going beyond to the glory of God. Not so we can pat ourselves on the back and feel good about ourselves, but because God our Saviour wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. As I say, not only do we want to enjoy life through Jesus Christ, we want to share it so that others can enjoy it. And over the last couple of years, we together have worked hard on our five key areas of ministry, which I just want to remind you of this morning. We have focused on our Sundays, We've reshaped our Sunday services. We're involving different service leaders and preachers, which is wonderful. It's great to have so many people involved at the front in leading and preaching, hearing different voices, different personalities, different styles of teaching. It's wonderful. We've been inviting guests, which I'm greatly encouraged by. Many people here are inviters, and not only inviters, but welcomers. The music ministry has grown and developed. Huge thank you to Nathan for all of his work in that area. So Sundays. The other area of focus, we've got five, is growth groups. We have seen an increase in growth group membership, which is so important in the health of a church. Deepening our relationship with God and with one another in Bible studies and prayer, it's like the engine room of a healthy church. If anyone here this morning is not in a growth group and would like to be, and I want to strongly encourage you to be in one, now at the start of the year is a great time to join one, to get involved in a small group. Come and talk to me over morning tea if that is something you would like to do this year. We've also worked hard in terms of reaching out into our community. We've heard a bit about that this morning in the area of children's ministry and youth ministry, but not just in those areas. Also on Sundays with special guest speakers like Peter Jensen, who we're looking forward to having back over the next couple of Sundays. It's a real blessing to have Peter come and join us once again this year. And we've had those Share Life missions, Share Life Sundays. And not just on Sundays, but also then things like Christianity Explored. So we want to keep going out as disciples of Jesus. We want to keep loving people in our community. We want to keep inviting people in. We want to keep welcoming people. We want to keep incorporating people into the life of our church together. I'm really excited about the plans for Friday night as we seek to expand our ministry to young people, not only in junior high and senior high, but also now with the senior primary age, with Nathan and Mel getting involved. That's really grateful for them to get involved in that way. There's children and youth. 55s is our other area of focus. We want to see a continued growth in our ministry to over 55s. God has blessed us with a number of new members to our church in this age bracket, and I look forward to us developing more ways to reach out into our community in this space. So this morning, for Vision Sunday, I just want to remind you of those things. Our vision, our key areas of ministry focus. But enough about us. Let's return to Jesus' words in Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, 13 to 14, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." In the context of our vision and mission, Jesus is upfront about the challenge that we face. Deb mentioned this morning, we want to encourage our children and seek to strengthen them because they're going out into a world that is increasingly hostile to the Lord Jesus and his gospel. That is true, but I would suggest it's never been easy to live the Christian life in the world. And there's always has been challenges and hostility. And Jesus is upfront about that challenge. There is a wide road that many enter through. There is a narrow road and only few find it. We ourselves need to make sure that we enter through that narrow gate, that we are faithful disciples of Christ. And then secondly, as we reach out with the gospel, we also need to be realistic that only a few find that road. Realistic, but not hopeless. Not hopeless, because Jesus says that a few will find it. Although that gate is small and that road is narrow, that leads to life, be encouraged, because some find it. And really, that's what we're on about, right? We want to share Jesus so that a few will find life in him. That would be our joy. That would be our joy, that if God continued to bless us, and if, let's say, in the year ahead, 10 souls found the narrow road and found life in Jesus, children, youth, adult, senior, doesn't matter, we would rejoice if 10 people found Jesus in the year ahead. That's what we want. And finding life in Jesus is so critical that he warns us about those who would take us off that narrow path in the following verses. Verse 15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. It's pretty simple, really. Simple illustration, very straightforward. We get it. But I guess the warning for us is we have to be careful who we listen to. He warns us of false prophets. Careful who you listen to, and I would add, especially in an online and podcast culture, we have access to many, many, many voices, and often voices where we hear them speak, we hear them teach, but we don't necessarily see their lives. We're not quite sure of the fruit. We hear, but we don't see. Jesus is saying, you will tell a tree by its fruit. It'd be good to see the fruit in order to understand the goodness of otherwise of that tree. You hear what I'm saying? It makes sense. So we need to be cautious. I guess we rely on reputation, we rely on what others say. But that can be a little bit hit and miss. There's an advantage to living amongst people that you minister to, so that over a period of time you see the fruit. You know, the children, Sunday school, they see the lives of their leaders, they see the kind of fruit that they're producing. Our youth over time will see our youth leaders and the kind of fruit that they produce in their lives, when things are going well, when things aren't going well, when they're under the pressure, under the pump, when they're misbehaved. They see the fruit. Jesus says that's a good thing. We want to see the fruit, and we want to be wary of the false prophet. The other thing we need to say is that we need to be very careful about our own fruit production, if you like. I got some citrus out the back in the rectory, and it's going okay. It's not loving the heat and lack of water. Not much fruit yet. But we need to be careful about our own fruit production, Jesus says. I'll just skip the whole few. There we go. True and false disciples. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one, we need to underline this, who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So Jesus needs to know us. We need to know him. We need to be in relationship with him. We need to be the ones who do the will of my Father. So as we think about our church, we think about vision, we think about mission, we think about preaching and teaching, we think about doing things in the name of the Lord, maybe even amazing things in the name of the Lord in our community. If we are doing those things, Jesus says, but fail to do the will of God in our own personal lives, that is, if we're failing to obey the word of Jesus, if we're failing to obey the commandments of God, then the things we do, no matter how amazing they might be, will amount to nothing in terms of our own salvation, because Jesus, as a priority, wants us to obey his Father. So yes, do great things in the name of the Lord, but only after making sure that you are obeying the Lord in the personal things, behind closed doors, in the way that you think and speak and act, not only in public but in the private. I think that's the challenge here. That's the warning that Jesus is laying before us as his disciples. It's the one who does the will of my Father that is key to Jesus, and then doing things in his name. As Jesus concludes his sermon, I am moving fairly rapidly here. It's a familiar parable or story, the wise and the foolish builders, but let me read it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, there's the key, not only hearing the words of Jesus, but putting them into practice, you know, same theme as the little section before, doing the will of my Father. It's about doing, not just hearing or knowing. We need to do the will, do the word. They are the ones who are like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You know, again, a very simple illustration, not hard to understand, but it's a challenge to our living. It's a challenge to our life. We all know the areas in which we fail to do the word of Jesus. We all know the ways in which we fail to do the will of God. God knows, the Lord knows, we ourselves know. That is why we keep returning to the Lord Jesus, to depend upon his mercy, to depend upon his grace, to depend upon his forgiveness, to depend upon his strength that he gives us by his Spirit to change, to be empowered, to become more like him, to obey. We fall short, but he forgives and enables, and so we keep returning to him in his mercy. It's only then that we are in any position to play our part in his vision and mission in our community, in our world, to build his church. We fall back on the mercy of our Lord, and we ask him, we plead with him to work in us to obey him. It's only then that we are in any position to play our part in his vision and mission. So what role will you play? As we set out on this new year together as a church, I want to thank each one of you for the role that you do play. Not everyone has an upfront role. We don't see everyone up the front here. Most of you are involved behind the scenes. And to you, I want to thank you and encourage you as you seek to obey your Lord and produce good fruit as you love and as you serve, whether that be up front or behind the scenes. I want to especially encourage this morning those who have been serving in a particular ministry for a number of years and have put your hand up to serve again. I think of Deb and her faithful leadership of the Sunday school over so many years, and she's enthusiastic as ever and ready to go again for another year. But not just Deb, there's a number of you who have been committed and faithful to particular ministries over many years, and we want to thank you. The last thing I want to say is that if there is anyone here who would like to be more involved, but you're not sure how you can be or what you might be able to do, I'd love to talk with you today or this week. I'd particularly love to speak to you if you have a new idea or a new ministry that you think it would be great for our church to be involved in. Something you would like to see happening, something that you have a heart for that's not happening but you would love to see happening. I'd love to talk to you because I'd love to start new ministries. Let me pray as I conclude. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We are only here as your people because of your love for us through the Lord Jesus, your grace, your mercy, the forgiveness that we've received in him. Father, we would not be his disciples if it weren't for your work in our life. And having worked in us, Father, we pray that you'd continue to renew us and transform us. Make us to be people who are more like your Lord Jesus in every way, who delight in obeying his word, who love to keep your commands. Particularly your command, Father, to love you and to love our neighbour. Fill us with love, Father, for one another. Fill us with love for the community around us. Give us a deep desire to enjoy the life we have in Christ and to share it with those around us. Father, continue to watch over our church. Continue to bless us. Give us humility together. Continue to draw more people, children, men, women, to the Lord Jesus through our ministry, that more people may enjoy the life that's found in Jesus. And that we may be living in such a way that brings honour and glory to your name. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.